I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. This Friday night, there will be a rare showcase of female-led Mexican music, Viva Mexico, a celebration of women in the world of mariachi. Michelle Cormier, the founder of Las Estrellas de Vancouver, joins me now to talk about the event. The Los Angeles-based singer Melinda Salcido and the dancers of Nahuelia Folklore will also participate. The event is at 8 p.m. Friday, the 15th of November, at the Vancouver Playhouse, 600 Hamilton Street. I'll ask Ms. Cormier about mariachi, its history, and the role women have played in its development, as well as what to expect Friday night. The website for tickets is at vivamexico.bpt.me. And for more information, go to vlacc.ca. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Michelle Cormier. Ms. Cormier, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
Viva Mexico, a celebration of women in the world of mariachi. This is upcoming.
Yes.
What is it in terms of what you wanted to present to a Vancouver audience, say?
Oh, this is it's a bit of a story, a little history of mariachi music in general, and also the contribution that women have made to this this musical genre.
And is the contribution of women, has that been overlooked generally? Because I looked at mariachi music on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like every track on that channel seemed to be of men.
Yes, exactly. So it was very typical to have like maybe just the woman as a singer, you know, like you saw the ranchera singers, and then have the male group backing them up. But it's a little, you know, it's more of a modern thing to have, you know, groups of all women.
Mm-hmm.
But I think. And yes, it has been overlooked. A lot of the inspiration that I get and the information that I have is based on the research of a good friend of mine, Leonor Xochitl Perez, who has been studying the history of women in mariachi for more than 20 years. So she has all that information, and the story is fascinating, and it's much more in-depth and much more not necessarily common to have women, but there are women groups that have been present, but just forgotten
yeah.
over time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're on the radio, if you will, and so I'm going to ask you how to describe mariachi music. This is my view of it. There's brass, obviously, strings, but the other thing, I don't speak the lingo, but there's a marvelous enunciation of the lyric.
Yes.
And unlike, say, any other songs that are music that I've listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously it sounds sentimental. I mean, I don't know the words, obviously. So, is that the case in terms of what one hears?
Yes, for the most part. I mean, there's many different themes, and depends on, you know, the type, because there's mariachi music, and mariachi musicians and groups are representing and interpreting the style and rhythms of various regions of Mexico. So not just one style. So. Often, if you're listening to some music and you hear the sentimentality, you know, and that's, you know, beautiful melodies and so on, then that's generally going to be the rancheras, and they're a little bit slower, and they're generally about love or lost love or something.
Yeah.
Or she left me, or, you know, she's no good, or I was no good, or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of themes based on love and sentimentality. And then there's also a common theme of, you know, pride of the country, of your hometown, like kind of like a patriotism or that sort of thing as well, you know, orgulloso, like pride in their home, in their space, in their culture, is also present in a lot of the styles as well.
And what part of the 20th century did mariachi, say, become most prevalent? I mean, I like listening to jazz and you know, Sinatra and that era of
mm-hmm.
is that does mariachi predate that a little bit, or?
Well, I think that it was really popular during like the golden age of cinema in mariachi, which I believe is like from the 1930s or 40s.
Right.
I'm not very good at my date lines, but mariachi or Mexican cinema was very popular for a time, and it always included music. And a lot of the very famous singers like Pedro Infante, Antonio Aguilar, they were all actors, singers as well. So they were present in the movies, and there was always live. I mean, there was always the mariachi band as well, you know, in the cantina, in the wherever.
Yeah,
I think the story.
And in terms of say contemporary music today in Mexico, mm-hmm. Does it still play a big part, say, in what people listen to in that country?
Yes, because a lot of the pop singers, for instance, they will have like some of the the bigger names like Luis Miguel and so on. They yeah. will often have a mariachi band for their concerts as well as an orchestra and a band and so on. And so that's still something that's quite popular. Have a mariachi band, mariachi repertoire in their popular music amongst the popular repertoire.
So this show at the Playhouse on mm-hmm. The 15th,
yes.
The group that you founded, L'Australias yes. de Vancouver,
yes.
how many members are a part of that?
I have a list of about 14 of
yeah.
us, and so it's a little bit of a rotating. I kind of have my first call of, members and so on, but for this show we will have 9.
Yeah,
so it'll be 4 violinists, 2 trumpet, the guitarrón, which is a big bass, and the vihuela, which I play, which is like a small guitar. And we have also invited a friend of mine, an amazing singer and guitarist from Los Angeles, Melinda Salcido. She'll be playing guitar and singing. She's a fantastic vocalist.
And there's also a dance part, I understand. Is that correct?
Exactly. There's a folkloric dance group called Nahuayi Folklore. And so there's that's something that's also the mariachi music is also connected with the folkloric dance as well. So there's a lot of repertoire. So like a bit apart from what you were describing of like the sentimentality, like the other types of songs, like the songs from Jalisco,
uh-huh.
which is thought to be sort of the birthplace of mariachi music. It's a very lively rhythm and generally accompanied by dance. And so we have that, and we have some polkas from the north, and we have some songs and dance from Veracruz from the east, and so on. So we have a nice mix for the dancers to join us for those.
And now that I look at it, are all the performers on the 15th, will they be women?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for the dancers. They have a couple of guys in their group.
Right.
That's their group. My group is the...
And the importance of that, I mean, we touched on that a moment ago about how the contributions of women have been overlooked mm-hmm. in mariachi. I mean, that's obviously why you think it's important to showcase a show like this on November 15th.
I think it's important on many levels because it's not only in music where we see still, of course, inequality, gender inequality. And so this is just an example of how we can present equally, just as well or better as the men, and be recognized for what we do in whatever it is we choose to do, whether it's music, whether it's business, whether it's politics, whatever. And so it's a struggle that women are still continuously facing.
Yeah.
And I found that when I started the all-women group, the response was really quite incredible, particularly from the Latin community, amongst the women who are coming from places where the inequality is greater than it is here. So they see us and they are completely blown away and so excited and empowered to see a group of women playing and presenting this generally macho male music.
Yeah, I can just
I
tell.
Love it.
Yeah, just how marvelous that is to not only for the performers to be able to work together in that sort of environment, but to
mm-hmm.
showcase that to the larger audience, to the larger community itself.
Yeah, sort of a thing now that's a kind of a force that we can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
it's like kind of what people expect of us now, like if we have any shows, it's what they're excited about. We hear you're all women, this is amazing, we can't wait to see you, And it's something that's really welcomed and really people are excited about it.
Other than the show on the 15th, what do you all do the rest of the year? I mean, do you perform at various events and do you put on concerts like this elsewhere, say?
We do like various things, like mostly smaller community events and lots of private events as well. Like, the typical function of a mariachi group is to play for parties. So we get called for, birthdays and so on and things like that. Last year we played in 2018, we played at the Folk Music Festival. That was quite fun to be part of that. And various smaller festivals around town. We were in Los Angeles last year as well with this friend of mine who's been curating a women's mariachi festival in L.A. for the last, since 2014, I guess, around when we started. And so we went down there to, be a part of that as well. And so we do various things. And everybody in the group, most of them, except for maybe like one or two, it's what they dedicate their time doing is music. So they're all busy with various projects, whether it's in the orchestra or teaching or jazz or other types of ensembles and quartets and so on. So everyone's quite busy all throughout the year.
So it was 2014 when you founded this, is that right?
Yeah, when we first started, and 2015 is probably when we started performing first.
Yeah, and what was it that motivated you to do all of this? I mean, did you find that there was a gap, say, in the cultural life in the city that needed to have this music, to have the to continue, say, the playing of this music in this town?
Well, there were already a couple of groups, and I was also directing a student group at the time, so since maybe 2009 or 2010. And I was starting to get more and more calls for other events that maybe weren't appropriate for the kids, and also as students, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, let's see if I do something different from what, there's already a group of guys and, there's a mixed group. And so, well, I'll do an all-girl group. Then we have our thing, then we're not sort of interfering with each other. We're all offering something a little bit different. And there was a few people that I was interested in working with, so I called couple of them up, and then they kind of started finding me, and then I was always like searching for more and always on the lookout for more trumpets and violins and bass players, so it's an ongoing project for sure. Quite rewarding.
Well, was this music that you always listened to, say, even growing up?
No, actually my I studied classical guitar, and so the type of music that always moved me most was, maybe from Mexico or from Latin America or from Spain or from somewhere. Like, I play music from everywhere. I teach also Cuban music. I play Balinese, gamelan music. I love whatever moves me. It's like what I pursue.
Yeah.
It's not that this is the music that I love the most, but it just seems it's the music that I'm doing the most now because it's this, like I was saying, like it's sort of the movement and the momentum of this group is kind of taking me and keeping me there. So.
Yeah, no, you obviously understand the language. I don't.
Yeah.
Listening to mariachi, I have my own feelings on it. But I'm curious to know for you, when you hear the music, what is evoked for you about Mexico?
Well, I guess kind of like you, when I first started listening to it, I didn't speak Spanish at all. I'm not from, any Latin or Spanish descent, French-Canadian. And I would still cry while listening to the music without understanding the words, because you can hear the message or you can hear the sentimentality or you can hear some emotion in the music that moves you, whatever it may be, right? And so, eventually I learned more and eventually I learned, to understand the language and later to speak the language and so on. And so when I hear the music, I hear like the honesty and the, and the joy, but then the pain and the joy and the pain. Or like all of these things, it's all quite complex and the pride in their culture and their, and how they present it. I love it.
You as someone who works in the arts, because the world around us is as challenging as it is. I find when I talk to artistic people like yourself, just the importance of culture and arts in our time is it's necessary and
it is.
Yeah, and so here you are. You're building a community. You're building bridges, as it were. It makes the work all the more rewarding, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like a sense of pride and honor to be a part of this community, not just the musical community, but of the Latin community. I was like quite impressed last year that someone from the Latin community nominated me for an award with an amazing title of Non-Latino Making an Impact in the Community.
Right.
Because, you know, I travel, like I said, I still have this student group, so I travel with them every year to study because I feel, well, they're just learning from me. So I want to take them to the source of wherever it is, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I take them and they take workshops and they study and so on. And then I have like some classes here. We do Cuban music. And so I take them to Cuba as well to study directly with, you know, really amazing players who are, you know, like icons or, you know, experts in the style and the genre. And so that's something that's really important to me. And it was really amazing to be recognized for that.
You know, I'll bet, yeah.
To not just be taking the culture, because this is something that we have to be so careful of now. Like, not just be, like, taking the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's to, like, you know, express and represent it and honor it. Because we're all a part of the of the community, of whatever community we think it's nice to share with each other.
When you take the, when you take these students to the source, as you put it, whether it's Mexico or Cuba, what is it like for people there to know that, that somewhere far away, somewhere colder, if you will?
They're blown away.
Yeah, I'll bet that they're interested in all of this, right?
Yeah, they love it. They are so impressed. Even, like, I mean, like for my, my kids, my students, you know, they don't speak the language at all. And they can't believe, like, how did you convince these kids to play this music? And they're singing in Spanish, and they're doing an amazing job. And so it's fascinating to see their reaction and to be accepted into their community there, like in Mexico. They're really impressed by it. And, yeah, I mean, we don't do it perfectly. We didn't grow up with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or we don't do it the same. You know, it might be, presenting a little bit differently, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, we're interpreting it in the best way we can from where we're coming from. And they appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I appreciate your time. Break your leg, as they say.
Likewise.